Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Angela.
Hello, hello.
We're in the doldrums of summer. How are the kids hanging in there?
We just got done with swimming lessons this week, which was super fun for them. And I mean, it's coming up here. I celebrated my birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you 21 yet?
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm a little more than that. Oh, yeah. So anyway, it was a good time. And yeah, just trying to, I think things are finally slowing down here a little bit for us. So, but that's great because now I got to focus on prepping for the school year. So.
Well, very good. Very good. Yes. Very good. Well, we had another baby saved this past week in Bloomington at the Whole Woman's
there.
Wonderful. And it was just a fun story as I heard it unfold. Brian Walker, who's our program director at the ministry, this is the first time he's gone out to this location in several years because he goes elsewhere. And he went out there because we're looking at doing some activities out there to get the prayer presence built up at this Whole Woman's and maybe even kick them out of existence, hopefully. And so Brian went out there, kind of scoped things out, and he ends up sidewalk counseling and talking to this young couple. The father did not want the abortion, but he didn't know what to do to keep her from having it. But eventually, in the conversation, they ended up saying, going and getting the help from a pregnancy help center instead of having the abortion. And the whole thing had to happen around these very interfering escorts, which is just another sign of God's grace working, because they love to just, you know, get their noses in and stop us from having conversations and things like that. And they tried, but the guy really wanted to get help from Brian. So,
right? Like it's sad when, especially it's very sad when you have a man who is fighting for the life of his child, does not want the abortion. I mean, I'm sure you've seen videos too of sometimes the aftermath of these men outside these clinics, literally sobbing because their girlfriend or wife are in there getting an abortion and they feel powerless because we've created things, we've structured law in such a way that these men don't get a say in whether or not their children live or die.
Forget the videos. I've seen that in person.
I'm sure you have. I have not, but yeah. I know it happens. Yeah, yeah. It's horrible.
It does. And of course, I go out the next day to sidewalk counsel at the same location, and praise God, they weren't committing abortions that day, but they had all their escorts there. So no women are showing up for abortions, but the escorts are there. Mm. And so I'm standing up on a public street, up maybe 20, 30 yards away from the driveway area to go into their private parking lot. So this escort is standing across the street from me and a car stops. It's not even one that I'm really waving to because I could see there was a man in the car driving the car and it was just one guy in there. So the car stops, the guy rolls down the passenger window and I recognize him. He's one of the people that work at one of the businesses in that same building, but he's, you know, they love us. They're friendly. They, you know, they like to talk to us. And I've talked to this guy a few times. His name is Isaac. So I'm having a conversation with him through the window. And this escort is standing across the street, just yelling at the top of his lungs, telling him that he can't block the street and he's got to keep moving, as if he's got any authority over the situation whatsoever. And there's no cars behind him. There's no cars coming. It's just, it's like stopping on a residential street somewhere and you have a conversation with a neighbor, you know, so what? And then have somebody yelling at you, you can't be stopped. So that happened. And then not more than 10 minutes later, a car comes rolling up and I wave and they roll down the window on the passenger side again. And it's an older woman, you know, middle-aged at least. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't tell how old you were, but you know, we're here trying to help women not have abortions and so forth. I'm giving kind of the spiel to her. This guy the whole time is, again, screaming at her, telling her that she can't be stopped and she can't sit there and that she's got to move and she's blocking traffic. Again, no cars around anywhere. No cars. I mean, this is a lonely road at times. And this was one of those times. And he's going on and on. She says, well, I'm pro-life too, and I'm glad you're here, and just smile and thankful and all that stuff. And she drives away, and I look at this guy and go, what's wrong with you that you're doing this? And he wouldn't talk to me, of course.
Oh,
he
just boy.
Glared. He just glared like I did something horrible. You know,
how dare you? Like,
yeah, how dare you? But, yeah, we have these opportunities, and, yeah, it's amazing. When God works past the escorts and goes right to the heart of the matter for the man and the woman, because she's the one that had to decide not to do this. And she did. She did. So, I mean, listeners, I wish you could see the video that I can see right now of Angela and a baby crawling all over her things.
So, well, she smashed her fingers in the door mid recording, so I had to go retrieve her.
Oh, I'm sure. So
the mute button is a very important tool I use.
Yes, I believe that. Well, we've got some new polling out there on the races in the state of Minnesota for key positions. We've got one with the U.S. Senate race, one for the governor's race, and one for the attorney general's race. There's others as well. Actually, some good news as far as depending upon your political party and affiliation, and some bad news if depending upon the same thing. But on the primary for the Republican Party for the U.S. Senate, former sportscaster Michelle Tafoya is just running away with the race. That's the best way to put it. It's just off the charts, pulling away. And I think it's important for us to understand her positions on abortion, because she is not pro-life.
I agree.
But she's not radically pro-abortion either. So she's a bit of a mixed bag here in some respects. And so MCCL, Minnesota Citizens Concerned for Life, have put out a voter survey, a pro-life voter survey, for candidates in all sorts of races. And for congressional candidates, includes the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, they've got 11 questions. They ask about the role of Congress regarding abortion and supporting, whether they would support federal role in protecting unborn children. And in that question, Michelle, I'm sorry, I got to roll it here real fast to look at it. She did not answer that. She didn't respond to that one. There's another one that she did not respond to, which was related to chemical abortions and regulating them. So she didn't answer that there's a federal role in protecting unborn children, and she didn't answer whether they should be regulating and restricting chemical abortion drugs, the abortion pill. Those are the two that she didn't answer to. She didn't say yes or no. She just didn't respond to those. But she responded to the other 9 questions, and she responded yes. So she opposes federal laws that limit states' ability to regulate abortion. She believes that there should be a Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. She believes that no taxpayer funding for abortion should take place. She supports that. She supports the Hyde Amendment and other similar laws that prohibit tax funding of abortion. She opposes any new ERA unless it has clear language that does not affect abortion policy. What else did they have in there? The rest have to do with subsidies and health plans and helping protect those that are involved in the medical community from having to be involved in abortion and so forth and so forth. So she did not answer 2 of the 11, but those 2 are very important. So just so it's real clear, I'm not saying she's pro-life by any means, but I'm also saying she's not like what we're seeing on the other side of the aisle, where all the candidates are in favor of abortion no matter what. and through the entirety of the pregnancy. So
yep.
That's a big significant difference. And of course, we're reporting she's running away with the support. I'm not saying you should be supporting her by any means. I'm not saying who you should support or not support. I'm just saying this is what we're seeing in this race right now. In the governor's race, this was interesting. So all of a sudden, Lindell and Damuth are starting to take the lead. So we've got Kendall Qualls falling out of the picture almost entirely. Just falling off, and he's the endorsed candidate by the Republican Party. So that's a very interesting situation. And then in the race, the Senate DFL race, you've got Congresswoman Angie Craig going against Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, both very radically pro-abortion, and it's a dead heat all of a sudden. Angie Craig had been ahead. Now Lieutenant Governor Flanagan has caught up, and it's basically an even race. No idea who's going to pull that one off. And of course, in the gubernatorial race for the DFL side, it's a runaway for Amy Klobuchar, Senator Amy Klobuchar. So that's that. But here's the one I really thought was interesting, more interesting than all of them, is they did polling and they put the Republican candidate, which is Ron Schultz, the endorsed candidate, up against Keith Ellison, who is the endorsed DFL incumbent attorney general. And all of a sudden, Ron Schultz is like within a few percentage points of Keith Ellison. And that is good, surprising news, because you got a pro-life candidate in one and a pro-abortion candidate in the other. So
right.
Very, very good to see all that. So that's the latest. We always, we throw it out there for you all to think about and make prayerful, discerning decisions on who to vote for. There we go. So we now have more than 50 legislators led by Senator Mike Lee and Congressman Chris Smith on calling Acting Attorney General Tom Blatch to investigate the deaths of five nearly full-term babies that were found among medical waste obtained at an abortion facility in Washington, D.C. back in 2022.
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised that they're still like pushing this, which I'm glad. I mean, right? Like Justice for the Five, there was a large social media campaign, but then there was all this stuff going on where the pro-lifers who obtained these poor bodies, they were the ones getting in trouble for doing this instead of the Planned Parenthood,
maybe,
right?
The background story would be good for all the listeners to hear. So these pro-life people were out in front of this abortion facility. It's called the Washington Surgery Clinic, and
that's right.
A medical waste driver was picking up waste at the facility at the time, and he had these big containers, and they asked to see them and then asked to take them. And there were like 115 aborted children's bodies inside these waste containers. Five of them, though, were well after viability and appeared by all accounts had been killed by an illegal DNX partial birth abortion procedure. When they reported this to the authorities, they came in, they took the bodies of the babies, and they've been held by the at the morgue, the Washington DC morgue, ever since. And no investigation, no looking into the matter has ever come about whatsoever. So now we have these 50 plus Congress people, legislators who are pushing for that to take place. So we'll see what happens with that. We got a story coming out of Washington D.C. out of the CDC, and they're now reporting that births among Black mothers have declined by 4% from 2023 to 2024. This is the steepest decline in birth rates among the various racial demographics in the country.
Very
and
interesting.
It was in the black community. So they're also showing that women, black women, are waiting even longer to have their first baby, and so forth. So it's disturbing for any community to have that decline, but and of course for the whole nation it is, for all of us.
Yes. So. Yep.
And we have a new nominee to head the CDC. Her name is Dr. Erica Schwartz. And she is stating in her confirmation hearings that it's absolutely fundamental that they collect abortion data. It's critical, in her words, that they are able to collect abortion data across the United States. So we'll see if that pans out to be something very good. So,
well, and I think it's worth noting she herself is African-American. Like, I think most would look at her, you know, because we have to be honest here. There are different politics, identity politics, whatever. I mean, they are influencing how people are receiving this information, whether they like it or not. And, you know, the left is going to say she's betraying her people. And the reality is even she is looking at her own, you know, where she came up from. And I think there are more people saying we do need more information about abortion. This is one of the sacred cows of America, and we're trying to shove it under a rug so that nobody's actually paying attention to what's going on here. What is it that these people are actually advocating for? What's actually happening in this invasive procedure? We would never do this if it's really just not a big deal. If it's really just like getting your wisdom teeth pulled, if it's really just an innocuous procedure, why do we feel the need to hide the reality of it? Why? I don't understand. We would never do this with any other kind of procedure. It is unique with abortion.
Right. And of course, our state legislature back in 2023 took some of the stuff out of our data collection on abortion to hide the fact that babies are being born alive in Minnesota from abortion procedures and things like that. So, you know, there are purposes behind hiding the data. And part of it is to bolster their narratives for abortion instead of what the truth and the reality is that we point out. So, it's out there. Well, there was a woman, her name is Adrienne LaCour, and she was raised Catholic. When her parents' marriage fell apart, it really led to some distress for her in her life, and it even, as she admitted, led down to the point where she ended up aborting her own child. And she became a raging feminist, and was in that. She got involved in the occult. She was doing meditation and yoga, which are also evil practices. And so forth. And now she has come to Christ. And now she has come full circle and has come back regretting her abortion, seeking healing in that area, and so forth. So I just love to hear these stories.
I do too.
Of somebody coming back.
They make me very emotional. Away.
Yeah.
Because I think it's easy to feel like I think it's one of the ways we have to guard ourselves against interacting with the world as if everyone is in their final state of sanctification. Like, God is not done with any of us yet. Thanks be to God. Until we are in the grave, He is not done with us yet. And we have to have that mindset when we're talking to people about abortion, especially feminists or people on the left. It's like, the Lord's not done with them yet. We can hold out hope for those, the prodigal son, right? Like, we're all prodigals. And so anyway, I do love seeing this stuff because it's like, yes, the Lord's not done.
Yes. Exactly that. I mean, it's when I look at somebody who is so radically involved in abortion, we see them out at the abortion facilities all the time. We have to remember that God can grab their hearts at any time. And this type of story just puts it right out there. She went to a Rachel's Vineyard retreat to deal with healing from the trauma of her abortion. And that was the big click that got her to go start looking back at the church. She went to confession to a priest for the first time in 23 years. And she felt the amazing compassion that the priest showed to her with penance and everything else. And now she is a devout Catholic woman again. So,
well, so that's happening on an emotional level, but also spiritually. I mean, how many times have we all heard that, like, a really good confession is more powerful than even an exorcism? And you just know that she went to confession and that oppression was released. It's like, oh, yeah. praise be to God. Thank God for the sacraments too.
A brand new clean slate the moment she received absolution.
Yes.
Just like we all can have. So
thanks be to God.
Very good. Very good. Well, the big media out there hasn't talked about this hardly at all, but the Vice President of the United States and his wife announced the birth of a fourth child. And this past Sunday, a week ago, and it's the first time in more than 150 years that a sitting vice president had a child born.
It's cool
It's cool stuff. I think it's cool as can be, and yet it's kind of like covered up or not even not mentioned, not covered up, just not talked about.
Well, it's because the people are claiming that this is just propaganda. So they're trying to stifle the news, you know, like we can't have those pro-birthers showing the world just how beautiful it is to have a family with multiple kids. You know, how terrible would that be?
Oh, I know, four children. I mean, crazy. Somebody with anything more than three or four children are just crazy, well, right?
I know. They're running their own daycares, basically.
And they even do this homeschooling thing sometimes.
They're insane. Insane.
They don't always, but and then they got swim lessons. And
I know. And jobs, too. Part-time and jobs.
And they just had a birthday.
Uh-huh. I know. It's crazy stuff, isn't it?
My poor mother, she only had 9 children.
Ugh, I God bless her.
God bless her.
She was wonderful. Yeah,
well, he sure did.
Yeah.
By her own words.
He blessed her with you.
Well, I wasn't thinking of me. I was thinking of others in my family, but that was her own words, not mine.
Yes.
So I'm not trying to put those words in her mouth. Okay, let's skip across the pond over to England. This is actually in Northern Ireland. Hospital clergy. You know, hospitals have clergy who come in of various denominations. They come in and they act as chaplains. They take, you know, they go there, they have bedside work with pastoral care and stuff like that. Well, the 77-year-old pastor, his name is Clive Johnston, was found guilty of violating a buffer zone legislation for preaching a sermon near the Causeway Hospital in Londonderry on July 2024. Because he was influencing or causing distress to someone accessing abortion services, though he wasn't talking to any one individual by that at all. But yeah,
distress.
And he happened to be the chaplain for that hospital where he's found guilty for. And then also in the UK, we have a member of parliament for 23 years who is outspoken pro-life member. Her name is was Anne Widdecombe. She was assassinated, brutally murdered in early July, and now the authorities believe it was a targeted attack for being so pro-life and vocal in the UK. It doesn't just happen here in the United States where we get those that are angry to the point of doing very wrong things. It's happening elsewhere in the world as well. And then also in the UK, we have a Catholic teacher who's now having to sue because she was fired for telling students she's pro-life when they asked her opinion about abortion. We got to remember, the United Kingdom does not have the same free speech and free exercise of religious belief protections that we have in our First Amendment in the United States. But she was from the United States. Her name's Sarah Morse. She's a devout Roman Catholic. And the discussion was in a history class of all things.
Oh, boy.
And the students asked her opinion on political issues in the United States. She said she, as a Catholic, she opposed abortion.
Yeah, it's insane.
She even said it was fine for students to disagree with her position.
Yeah.
And yet she gets fired. So I hope she wins the lawsuit. That would be very good.
Yes.
In the nation of Chile, they now have introduced a bill that will require those that are seeking abortions to listen to the child's heartbeat.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, if you aren't going to be able to outlaw abortion altogether, this is that's a piece of legislation that's going to help lead toward the outlawing of abortion altogether, as far as I'm concerned.
So, oh, yeah. I mean, very, very good. This is part of informed consent. That's how I feel about it. These women are not given informed consent. They don't understand that this is a living human being. Right. A lot of the time. Sometimes they do know and they don't care. But a lot of the time, there's just something so maternal about seeing your baby, and even hearing your baby is just another experience.
Right. And you can hear the heartbeat before you can see the baby in an ultrasound.
Right.
So that's, I mean, it's yeah. Even because that heartbeat is there about 21 days post-conception. So we're talking about 5 weeks gestation. In that range, that heartbeat can be heard on a fetal heart monitor.
And that's about the time that many of these women are discovering they're pregnant. So you know that they're going to hear it if they go. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
so. Well, a number of Dutch hospitals are preparing to start committing abortions up to 24 weeks as part of a pilot program, making it easier for women to have an abortion anytime for any reason. Current law in the Netherlands and in the Dutch law currently allows for abortion up to 24 weeks, but it's rarely been committed past 22 weeks. So by putting it into hospitals and making it this pilot program, they're hoping to open it up more for women to feel free to kill their almost full term babies, viable babies for sure. So, yeah. There's a new site that has been launched to track attacks on abortion pill reversal. We've, of course, in California, they're going after Heartbeat International and Real Options for so-called misleading parents about or patients about abortion pill reversal. And of course, that case is ongoing right now. And of course the issue that they're putting this as the phrase safe and effective, which it is. Abortion pill reversal is safe and effective.
Yes, it is.
And it is proven, though they call it unproven and risky and all these other things. And of course you got New York, the attorney general there has gone after Heartbeat International also in New York, and so forth. Thomas More Society defending these pregnancy resource centers in many of these lawsuits. And so now they're fighting back by getting this out there, watching and monitoring what's going on with the attacks on the abortion pill reversal. By the way, the man who created the abortion pill reversal protocol and started the abortion pill reversal network, which he handed off to Heartbeat International many years ago now, Dr. George Delgado, is going to be our keynote speaker at our banquet this October.
I'm so excited.
I am too. I think it's going to be wonderful to have him come, especially on such a timely topic. And again, the man that invented this whole thing is going to be our keynote speaker. So I'm looking forward to that. And then in the U.S. Senate, Senator Howley from Missouri has sent a criminal referral to the acting attorney general, Todd Blanche, about an abortion pill company that Howley has called dark money operation in the efforts to break state laws on abortion around the United States. So there's a lot of pressure being put on this acting attorney general to act properly as attorney general for the United States, and especially on the abortion-related issues from the five in D.C., those five precious little babies that are in there that were killed, to the use of the abortion pill, the way it's being manipulated across the United States. And so we hope this man acts upon all this. It's all the time we have today. Thank you, and God bless you.